When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This news exclusively on CBS News. The Biden administration is considering a plan to allow some Palestinian refugees to come here to the United States. That's according to internal federal government documents that were obtained by CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez. According to the plan, some Palestinians fleeing the war would be offered a permanent safe haven here in the U.S. And one option under consideration is to allow those who have immediate family members who are either American citizens or permanent residents to enter the country if they pass various background checks first. The plans would require coordination with Egypt, which has so far refused to allow large numbers of people from Gaza to cross the border into that country.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is Wednesday, May 1st. May 1st. Not Cinco de Mayo. What is it?
May Day.
May Day.
Celebrating communism.
Welcome to the show. My name is Wayne Dupree. Let me introduce the Godfather of Conservative Radio, Ms. Hutch Bailey Jr.
Hello, fellas. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Glad to be here.
We also have Imam of Minnesota, Mr. Jason Robinson. What's up?
Hey guys, just went back on some college tours. Those are going kind of interesting.
If you didn't watch our show yesterday, we told you the only way to fix this is force. We said that, didn't we? We said that.
It's just as true now as it was in 1960.
Is that you're not going to go in there baking them pies? You're not going to go in there and offering them milk and cookies. The only way to meet this type of idiocy is force. Now, they may regroup and try it again, but the force will be even stronger the next time. And because these are just kids. These are just college kids with leaders from out of this country that just have nothing but mics and speakers, amps. That's it. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But as you just saw, with everything that's happening on the college campuses, with everything that's happening, spreading like a disease from state to state, from top college campuses and stuff, the Biden administration is floating the idea of bringing over Palestinian refugees. Now, if you haven't seen some of those photos of them burning the American flag or making fun of Joe Biden's face and stuff and everything like that, if y'all haven't seen that, well, that's who he wants to bring over here. When I saw it last night, I was like,
just imagine how many more Rashida Tlaibs they could have.
They are so hard up for votes for the election.
The entire Middle East rejects Palestinians because they're too. They just go in and cause trouble and try to overthrow the government. And
I don't get it, Joe. And the reason why I say I don't get it, yeah, I know we can throw that thing. Yeah, well, it's a Democrat. No. You are bringing over your destruction. They don't see that. They think they can.
Oh, they fix see it. Things. The ones that are doing it see it. They know.
Well,
it's the ones that are clapping like seals.
Is what I mean. They think it's not going to touch them. They don't care what happens to the lower.
Oh yeah, the plebes. We can suffer as long as the elites are fine.
Yeah. So yeah, in watching that, I was like, yeah, that's just a recipe for more madness and more Palestinian leaders, college type, early 20 leaders to come over here and cause issues, probably in laundromats now.
America's really lost our moral compass. And I mean that on both sides of the aisle, not just the left. Where's all that? This is a group that murdered thousands of unarmed Israelis, mainly concert goers. And they come over here, and where's the civil rights leaders? Yep. We're just going to pretend Israel's not a people? You know, this is ridiculous.
Refugees.
Well, and I got to say, the people of Gaza elected Hamas, which is a militant, hardline Arab country that overwhelmingly hates America. They hate our values. They hate everything we stand for. Why on earth would we? We shouldn't even allow them to travel here, much less relocate them here.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to take, man. You watch this stuff, and then on our side, I think Tucker Carlson lost his mind. On our side, he's out there and he's saying that anybody who supports the nuclear weapons in World War II is an evil person. That guy obviously does not know what he's talking about.
What did he say?
He said that he was on a podcast with Joe Rogan, and he said anybody who is, because conservatives have supported the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima for 50 years. And he said, anybody that does that's an evil person. I'd like to know what Tucker Carlson's knowledge base is about the Japanese during World War II. I really would.
Wow.
Doing experiments on people while they're awake.
You know, I saw some rumblings for some people that, I guess it was that interview. They were saying, I don't know what happened. Was he bought or something like that? He just doesn't know.
I don't think he knows. I don't think he studied it. I don't think he realizes that the bombing campaign before Hiroshima killed more people than Hiroshima. And we would have kept on bombing until we would have had to invade. And then it would have been Okinawa from one end of Japan to the other. We'd have lost another million people.
Right.
Tucker should know that.
Yeah. But then again, you wonder who is he speaking to? Who's his audience that he's speaking to?
A Russian philosopher, I guess. I don't know.
It was interesting because I had asked that question a couple weeks ago and we never really got into it. But I think the U.S. did something wrong using the atomic bomb because I think it set the precedent. If any country feels that they're morally right, it's justification for them to use a nuclear bomb. So what makes Iran any more right than the United States? Now, I personally believe the United States is right, and I personally believe Iran is wrong. But on that logic of using the bomb, if Iran believes they're right, then that would give them the moral authority to use a nuclear weapon against somebody else.
Well, Oppenheimer basically knew or felt after the test that he had made a mistake. Oppenheimer even, you know, and
it's an ugly technology. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, death is death.
Right. But what I'm saying, Hutch,
in wrong hands, though.
What other countries can feel justified then to use the nuclear bomb?
I'm not supporting the nuclear weapons. I'm supporting what we did in 1945.
Yeah, we used nuclear weapons.
So we could save lives. And that happened.
Right, but I mean, what's to say China doesn't feel that same way, or what's to say Iran doesn't feel that same way?
Well, if whoever Iran was going to bomb came in and attacked their country first, like Japan did to us, then you'd have to go in that context.
So we've been attacking Iran indirectly through funding of different organizations.
Totally disagree with it.
We're doing moral things they disagree with by allowing trannies.
We have started trouble in Iran. We are not as angelic as we thought we were. So yeah, I mean,
I don't agree with any of that stuff.
Huh?
I don't agree with any of that intervening in other countries stuff at all.
But no, I mean, I felt the same way when the first movie that I saw was Fat Man and Little Boy. And that was about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That was before Oppenheimer's movie that just came out. But it was about Oppenheimer. And I came away from that movie thinking, because just as soon as we did that, then Russia started gathering their stuff together. And then they start ramping up and building silos. And then the Cold War came after that. But I start thinking the same thing after or during the Cold War, because or maybe it was after the Cold War, is when the terrorist countries started to get one or two. You know, I mean, you start hearing, well, Iran has one, or they're trying to get one. Iraq, or I mean, a couple of those Middle East countries have
Pakistan.
Nuclear. Yeah, they have one. And it's like, you know, that's when you go back and say, dang God. You know, we created Saddam Hussein. We created Osama bin Laden. So now we're creating the atmosphere for terrorist countries to even start. You know, what were they doing with Iran? Iran was testing, or they were working to see if they could come up with one. You know, those countries come out there and say, well, it's not that we want one. We're just seeing if we can make one. You know what I'm saying? We're just seeing. And then when they finally got one, then they got two. You know, I agree with the way of where you were going with that, because that's how I felt after watching the movie. I was like, oh, damn. I think I even asked a question because after Pearl Harbor, didn't we do, didn't the Air Force and stuff go over there and bomb?
Oh, yeah.
Not Japan? Right after Pearl Harbor.
Not right after, but.
They had a Doolittle's bombing range went out there. Most of the jets ran out of the prop planes. The bombers ran out of fuel and fell into.
But that was after Pearl Harbor, though, right?
Yeah. But it was several years until we started really going on the offense. But and that's what I was saying. You know, it's war. It's not trannies. This is something that they were killing us. They had a chance to win, and we were already killing them. Japan in 1945 was all wooden. We drop a couple firebombs and entire cities would burn and the people would die by dying in the fire. You know, it's like we weren't killing them before the bomb. The bomb stopped the killing.
I'm just saying Japan attacked us. So we were.
And 15 other countries in Asia.
Yeah, it was completely appropriate to open up war and go nuts on them. I'm just saying by that logic, other countries that feel we're at war with them could feel justified saying the same thing.
I agree with you. I mean, our State Department is drunk. I agree with you 100%. I'm not supporting them.
Right.
I'm just saying that right before we did that in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we had the battle for Okinawa. It was the biggest battle that 45,000 Marines got killed. All right, 45,000.
Yeah.
And the next step was, and women were taking their babies in their arms and jumping off cliffs to their death because they were totally thinking that we were just going to come there and brutalize them because they wouldn't surrender. None of these guys, if you ever talked to any, I mean, they're gone now, but you talk to Marines that were there, And it's like, we had to, we were inhuman. We had to be. They wouldn't give up no matter what. You know, they'd be half burned up and charging at us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the kamikaze fighters themselves. There was a, there was a, I mean, I don't know if you've seen that for hundreds or if not thousands of years, that kind of dedication from a population. But like I say, I think us using a nuclear weapons opened the door for other countries too. Maybe. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't like
that. At least stock up. They're stocked up, you know, a lot. Let, if you've been watching the
video ever.
Yeah. When I saw it yesterday, I was like, this can't be right. As you know, the police went on a couple campuses and used force to get some of these students out and stuff like that. But yesterday afternoon, I guess the students thought that they were going to dig in because they wanted some food and water, and they start bringing spokespeople out like it was Attica. You know, I was like,
we need humanitarian aid.
Humanitarian aid. Want
some chicken nuggets and applesauce.
Right. You make you suck.
She looks like a warrior, doesn't she?
Well, first of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately in that
just
situation.
Go home.
How are you wearing a cafea and you're like running a college?
We want to be revolutionaries. We want to take up this building. Now would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything.
Can I suggest a tear gas grenade?
Stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food.
Humanitarian aid.
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will.
Rich spoil rich kids.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Who is Muhammad talking to up there?
What is that, a half shirt bro back there?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Is that a half shirt there?
You better watch your peers, they're watching you.
Is that a halter top, my friend?
He's one of the LGBTQ for Palestine.
Time to see if you can fly.
Now, how soon till she's asking us to reimburse her student loans?
Yeah.
I mean, she works for a university.
Yes. And isn't her husband I forget. I saw something where somebody was speculating who her husband was, and he was like banned from the country or something.
Oh, really?
I heard that was somebody. Was that her they were talking about?
Don't quote me. There's been so many stories.
Terrorist wife spotted on campus or something like that.
What? Yeah. And it sounds like they arrested a bunch of them, and then like the 300 they arrested, 250 had nothing to do with the college, and a bunch of them were from out of state is what they were saying. Yeah, now this is all speculation.
It's true, though.
It fits, right?
Yeah, you know it's true. College students don't have any freaking motivation.
Man, right. Got no
sense. And I think they still have their Black Lives Matter shirts on under the other ones or whatever their last protest was.
Yeah, or Antifa. Listen, they don't have tents. If they live on campus, why do you need those tents? So, somebody was shipping all that stuff.
At the beginning, it was interesting. They were all the same color.
Right.
Yeah, right. It was like a little military complex.
I mean, can't Jeff Bezos just say, okay, you know, 500 of these tents were ordered by Mr. Soros, Alex Soros. I mean, it's so comical.
Well,
the thing gets me about him is people call him out all the time, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
Well, because he got FU money, that's why.
It's like these court cases going, where are the Republicans in Congress talking about it? They're all in there pretending they don't see it happening.
Right.
Right.
The whole freaking GOP is anti-Trump.
That's something that has always gotten me is that, and I've said it many times, it's like, if this was happening to Democrats, Democrats would be holding press conferences every half an hour on an hour. They would have spokespeople out talking in front of CNN and MSNBC and stuff. And they might have Harold Carter Jr. or Harold Ford Jr. on Fox News speaking about it. So the Democrats, if this was happening to the Democrats would be out in force going after our side. Is putting up legislation and stuff that's never going to see the light of day, or it doesn't mean anything. I have filed a petition. Really? Seriously? You really going?
If this was any group other than Israel, the country would go nuts. Any other ethnic group that was this, they were saying that kind of stuff to them. I got to take this call.
Mm-hmm. With that, there was another story that popped up yesterday, and I want to get y'all's your response to it, because Marjorie Taylor Greene came out yesterday and said that she's the Democrats, she don't know about there was possibly a deal because the Democrats won't help vote to vacate the chair.
Johnson, yeah. Yeah, I heard Massey at a press conference this morning.
Now, when I look at that, I'm like, but then she came around and said that the Democrats are helping Johnson.
Yes.
Okay. They said they would.
But here's the thing. She's asking the Democrats to help her. Think about what she said. She's asking for the Democrats to help vote to vacate the chair. And they said no. So then she quickly turned around. Okay, well, guess what? They're helping him. But you asked for their help to get rid of the guy. And it seemed like some people are catching it, but not a whole lot of people are catching that. She came out yesterday, was ticked off. She was ticked off because
I'm ticked off by the guy too.
The Dems came out there and said, no.
Yeah, and the Dems are getting everything they want.
But why would, and now I'm coming from the middle, and then both of y'all can ask, why would the Dems help anyway? They are loving to see the Republicans go crazy and nuts and look stupid. Why would they help anyway? Right now, there's a total collapse on the Republican side. You have some honestly, some Republicans are going to come out and vote with the Democrats not to vacate. So then she's going to say, well, these Republicans are voting with the Democrats. And it's like, but you aren't. And even Donald Trump even came out and said, don't do it right now. Not right now. You can do it, but not right now. You know, here's a
Taylor Greene said she will force a vote to oust the House Speaker Mike Johnson as soon as next week. Let's go live to CNN's Manu Raju, who's up on Capitol Hill for us. Manu, you were there at the press conference. I didn't see a whole lot of members of Congress standing around Marjorie Taylor Greene. Does she think she can pull this off?
There's virtually no chance she can pull this off because of the decision by the Democratic leaders, Hakeem Jeffries, announcing yesterday that they would support the effort to kill that resolution. This is much different than what happened in the fall. Of course, at that time, this was led by Republicans to oust Kevin McCarthy. 8 Republicans voted to kick him out of the speakership, but then all Democrats did as well. But Democrats view this situation differently in the aftermath of Mike Johnson cutting some deals to keep the government open and then providing aid for Ukraine, $61 billion in aid to Ukraine, all of which say that there's no reason for them to kick out Johnson at this time. But it's those same deals that have caused this anger among those far-right Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who says that she does plan to call for this vote next week simply to put members on the record. Now, one question is, why is she moving forward with this? Because even despite Donald Trump suggesting he is not in favor of this at this time. I put that question to her at this press conference just moments ago. If this goes fails next week, as is expected, will you continue to try to force a vote on this issue? And two, former President Trump has said positive things about the speaker and has said he doesn't favor a motion to vacate. Aren't you defying the former president's wishes?
Absolutely not. I'm the biggest supporter of President Trump, and that's why I proudly wear this MAGA hat. I fight for his agenda every single day. And that's why I'm fighting here against my own Republican conference to fight harder against the Democrats. Mike Johnson has fully funded the Department of Justice that wants to put President Trump in jail, giving him a death sentence.
And Mike Johnson.
I'm not going to go too much farther into CNN because we don't do the CNN. And actually, I didn't think it was a CNN video. I just saw the headline on the thing. But, but Republicans help fund that DOJ thing too, you know.
To their shame.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it wasn't just Johnson. Republicans did the same thing. As a matter of fact, under McCarthy, her boy, they funded to give them a brand new building, didn't they?
FBI, yeah.
The FBI. So, I mean.
The thing that got me about Johnson, I mean, I didn't like the spending either. I mean, they didn't have to vote for that. It's the only leverage that we have in the whole government, you know, and they just gave it away. That ticks me off. But when he put that tiebreaker vote in for the warrantless investigations, that's disgusting. And the war aid that he got a kickback from, by the way, $100,000 from one group and $90,000 from another one right after he signed it.
I was going to say, I wish we could ever find out what they did to Johnson. Was it threaten his family? Was it compromising pictures?
How do we know? Where was that Skiff story that y'all were talking about? Where'd that come from?
Where they showed him videos in the Skiff?
I guess. I don't know.
I saw it on C-SPAN.
He had three intelligence. He had three intelligence community briefings before he signed that aid bill.
Right.
Nobody knows what's in them. I mean,
yeah,
they keep that stuff. They can't keep nothing else secret, but they keep that secret.
Well, there's one thing about the speaker, the House speaker, and this is for all of them. They're the third in line. So whatever information they got, they get a whole lot more than everybody else. So, I mean, maybe it did scare the bejesus out of him. Maybe it wasn't a robbery thing. Maybe it was something, because right after that happened, you had the FBI Ray coming out even before all this, talking about there's a whole lot of cyber stuff happening and stuff. And then all of a sudden the bridge on the Baltimore Bridge and the
911 remote down.
You know, the remote stuff and everything. And that was before all of this. And then next thing you know, y'all said that he went to the skiff, saw some stuff, I guess. And then he came out and was like, okay, maybe.
Look, they did it to Trump, too.
We need to do something. Well,
they punked Trump out, too.
Trump, I think they hid things. And the reason why they hid things is because, and look, Trump is my dude. Trump is my dude. I mean, Trump would always go to the edge of the mountain, but he wouldn't cross it. He would come out there and say stuff and leading up to it, but he wouldn't come across the finish line with the whole thing because he knew he couldn't. You know, like the time when he woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and said that they were spying on me. Who? But he really didn't say who was spying on him. He just said, I knew it. They were spying on him. And that just blew everything off the thing because we figured he found out what they were doing. So, but I do believe that, and I don't believe Donald Trump is the only one that they hid stuff from, because they hid stuff from Reagan too.
They've been doing this since the CIA was formed.
Yeah, they hid.
This is how they do it.
Well, you mentioned that. that article Epoch Times put out, like, is the CIA running the country?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
And I'm Larry Fink.
Well, and that's what's funny, too, because when we fall into this, we say our side does this. The Republicans aren't our side. The Republicans are the government's side.
Good job on that. Good job on our side, our side. I do that. I do that sometime because, I don't know, it's in my brain for some reason. And I can't get it out of my brain.
We're getting played, man.
Right, yeah.
I can never get it out of my brain because I'm like, well,
I wish I didn't know it.
I do too. Me too. I do.
Yeah, I mean, they all, and that's why Democrats are fine with Speaker Johnson. He's passing 80, 90% of what they want. The other 10% that he'll draw the line against, like the border stuff or whatnot, is just because there's a chunk of Democrats that know that would be horrible. They're not going to come out and say it. They're, you know, but they're going to be like, oh man, we, like, they know the border's out of control. And like, they created a monster. They don't know how to stop it. But I bet if you put them all under the truth serum, there's a bunch of Democrats that would say, yeah, that bill we passed, let's hope that doesn't become law. You know,
I think
you know what gets me? You know what gets me about that though? About them saying that they support him is because for me, because of right now, I'm going along with President Trump's way of looking at things because that's sort of where I was looking at things. I think that needs to slow down. But it's hard for me to believe they want to keep him in there just because of what he just did. That one section. Now, if he starts doing more things for the Democrats, then I say that there's a problem. I still believe that a whole lot of the stuff, I still believe a whole lot of the stuff that got passed was still McCarthy stuff. I don't think that things really changed. I really don't. I think that it would have passed under McCarthy. Because McCarthy's done stuff like that before. So, I mean.
Oh, they're going to continue to pass stuff. That 10-year bill they talked about, this is classic, gets leaked to the media. They float the idea so people get used to it. They'll see what the reaction is. There hasn't been that big of outpouring. I haven't seen many shows other than us and a couple small segments on other shows that they mentioned it. But they're literally trying to tie us for 10 years.
I know.
To Ukraine
and the NATO minister. The NATO minister just said that Ukraine's getting admitted into NATO. So we're another step closer. These people are maniacs.
But you know, how do you think, they're not a NATO country, but they are using United States materials to hit Russia's not NATO.
No, Russia's anti-NATO.
Right. So
NATO should be dissolved.
Exactly. But there, a non-NATO country is using military materials from the United States to hit Russia at various points. And you're trying to tell me that alone won't start war? I mean, well, it hasn't yet, but you know, we're just buying time right now. You know, that clock, that end of the world clock and stuff. The batteries aren't out of that thing yet. That thing is still moving. You know, it's not going backwards. It's going right to the old clock. You know what I'm saying?
And it's insane.
In my opinion, Russia would be justified.
Yeah.
To say America's attacking them.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm surprised it hasn't already. Back to the argument of the nuclear weapons from earlier with, like, Russia has a lot of nuclear weapons, and if they feel they're being attacked by the United States, I'm just saying, from Russia's perspective.
They know they're being attacked by the United States. They know it. We could give a hat tip to Vlad for not doing anything yet.
Right.
Said that too. And
I'll tell you something else. In another year, that'll be outlawed. You won't be able to say that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We are not Russian apologists, but we have to give credit where credit is due. He's showing to be a better leader than the one that we got in office.
You know what a priority in Russia is right now? Families.
Mm-hmm.
They have more 4 to 10 year old children than we ever had.
Well,
they outlawed they outlawed the LGBT call them terrorists.
Yep.
Good.
Terrorists.
I got to say, if you look at Russia since this Ukraine stuff started, I mean, they got themselves back on the gold standard and they're building up gold reserves as part of BRICS. They've increased their exports of oil and all that kind of jazz. Their economy is stronger now than when the war started. They've cleaned out through attacking Ukraine a lot of their old equipment, and they've replaced a lot of it with new equipment. They've increased their military production and their enlisted by significant numbers over what they started with. I mean,
and
one could argue Russia is significantly stronger after this conflict. And I got to say, if somebody wanted to make it so Cuba could have nuclear weapons in it from Russia, America would say, oh, heck no, that is way too close. You know, we already almost went to war over that. So I don't know why NATO and America thinks admitting Ukraine into NATO that would allow us to put troops and nuclear weapons on Russia's border, why Russia would be cool with that. Like,
I think they're totally led by money. I think that's their entire motivation. They don't care about who dies, where, you know, they just think that they're God. And they're going to do this, and they're going to put their will on somebody else. And I think they're delusional when it comes to Russia.
War is big money.
And Russia's country, the biggest.
I appreciate you bringing that up about Ukraine and the 10-year thing, because when I saw that, I know I had to say something about it on the thing. And like you said, a lot of people really aren't really even talking about it. They haven't brought it up. They will in about 3 or 4 months, as if it were new. You know what I'm saying? They're, 10 years. Biden messing up again. Look, it's already, they've been talking about it. For that to come out, and I read that on RT, for that to come out, they already been talking about it. Prolifered a few months before it even came out. Oh, that's probably old, you know. Speaking of Johnson, I don't think he really is worried about Marjorie Taylor Greene because he has God on his side. Wink, wink. This is his response.
About your future.
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Mm-hmm.
No fan of yours.
Bless her heart. Yeah.
Is she a serious lawmaker?
I don't think she's proving to be. No, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about her. I've got to do my job, and we do the right thing, and we let the chips fall where they may. And that's my philosophy. That's how we're governing. We're gonna keep the train on the tracks and show the American people that not just what we're against, but what we're for. That there's a conservative agenda that is necessary to get the country back on the right track, and the way for us to do that is to keep and grow the House majority. Descending into chaos and closing the House down and vacating the chair again is exactly the opposite of what needs to happen.
Now, he said something there, right there, that I think that people might not have heard. But Mike Johnson isn't MAGA. I think.
Correct.
I think we can come to that conclusion. Mike Johnson isn't MAGA.
After that meeting.
I don't think he was MAGA before.
I do.
But what he said right here was, we need to grow the Republican majority.
Did you see what the RNC chairman said?
What's that?
The RNC chairman, before he was put in that position, promised to spend every day toward getting Trump elected. He changed his mind yesterday. He said he's got to switch and start helping Mike Johnson stay elected.
Did he?
Yes, he did. Watley's his name.
But that's Trump's guy, though. Watley is Trump's guy.
Well, he's from the Republican Party in one of the Carolinas. He's not Laura Trump.
Yeah, but he was endorsed by Trump first before.
Right. No, I know.
So, maybe Trump is telling him that we got to get behind Johnson.
Maybe.
maybe Trump is, because right now Trump is in charge of RNC, you know, especially with his daughter, his daughter-in-law.
I think Trump, the things he's got to watch is he's a deal maker, where that's what kind of got him in the first term. You know, the critiques we've had, many on our side have had of Trump.
Syria? Is
he cut too many deals.
Syria?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, with Johnson.
I'll never forget that one, boy. I felt like, motherfucker. No, not Syria. God, dog, it, geez, man. But, and then the two women that helped him were running around with their dresses on, Graham and McCain.
But I mean, Johnson, I think he probably ascended to a certain level being Speaker of the House. And whoever the real power players are just brought him in the room and said, do you want to play ball or not? You know, who knows what leverage they had, who, like, and that's why he's so calm. He's like, yeah, they're not going to get rid of
him. He's very calm, isn't
yeah.
He is very calm. He isn't like McCarthy. He isn't. And the one before McCarthy was
Boehner,
the one that went to Fox.
Ryan.
He's not Ryan. And he definitely isn't Boehner. This is a cool, calm cat right now. And that's why I said, whatever he, again, this skiff thing or whatnot, whatever they showed him and gave him privy, because he probably getting intel meetings too now.
Yeah, he's a member of the Gang of Eight now.
Yeah, right. You know, so, and whatever. Think about
it. This is a no-name member of the House. You know, nobody barely knew who he was 6 months ago. Sure now he's third in line for the presidency. And honestly, he's behind Joe Biden, who could drop dead at any second.
The Antichrist.
And Kamala, you know.
He's the Antichrist.
So then you get him in the presidency, and he's a compromised president.
Yep.
Well, miracles have showed it. He's a miracle maker now. He's the Antichrist. Okay. He was a no name, came out of nowhere.
Just like Obama.
Jesus.
Just like Obama. Yeah.
Well, yep. Obama had a problem. Obama's son of the devil. Johnson, well, no. Obama was the John the Baptist to Mike Johnson. Because Mike Johnson right now is you know, but you know, I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not saying that because I believe whatever you believe about the Antichrist.
They say he's gonna come looking like a savior.
I know. And this one, Johnson, has already got the Democrats not say, no, we don't want him out. We'll keep him in. You know, it's like, wait a minute, the Democrats see him as a peace type of person, and then you're going to have some Republicans that are going to join the Democrats, and then the next thing you know, man, the House is starting to look like they can work together and stuff like that.
All the things that destroy America.
Oh, man.
And now representing New York's 12th district, it's Muhammad Hocknock.
He has his Death to America pin on his shirt. And
oh, my God. Trump is really going after the American Jews. Huh? Oh, and so is Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk says he's impatient with many Jews for accepting anti-white bigotry and warns country is on the road to mass murder. Charlie Kirk. But Trump came out and said, you have to stop Israel's war on terrorists.
Lost our moral compass.
Former President Trump attacked Jewish politicians abandoning Israel. You have to stop Israel's war on terrorists. But also that Israel must complete their war on terror and do it fast. He said, well, I'm watching Jewish politicians abandon it. Well, you know what? Hold on. Let him speak for himself. let me speak. Netanyahu is in some country, he's being held like a war criminal or something like that.
The International Criminal Court.
Yeah.
You're going to charge
the ICC. Yeah. Yeah.
You got to remember something with Trump when he's talking about Netanyahu. Netanyahu screwed Trump one time
during the election.
I don't remember what it was. I think it was something military. He was supposed to, when they took those Iranians out, Bibi was supposed to help, but he didn't show up. Something like that. I'd have to look to get the complete details, but that's the gist of it. Our special forces did something, and the IDF was supposed to help, and they didn't come.
Well, I know he was mad that Bibi congratulated Biden, and he called him out.
This was before that. This was
the 2020 election. Yeah. Here's
hard time understanding. Why don't members of Congress, why aren't these students, why aren't political figures understanding that there is good and evil here, and radical Islamic terrorism is the evil part of this?
Well, I'm watching Jewish politicians abandon Israel, and I've seen it, and you've seen it. Where is Schumer? Why isn't Schumer speaking up? He was always out there in front because he's looking at votes, I guess, and I guess he's looking at maybe more votes than represent Israel, but that has nothing to do with it. You have to stop this war on terror. It's Israel's war on terror. October 7th was beyond violent. It was things done to people that nobody had ever seen before, to babies. And a lot of people that are out there protesting, they deny October 7th ever happened. October 7th did happen, and it was horrible and violent and disgraceful, and it's got to be stopped. You can't have a thing like that. And when you have people out there protesting and they're denying that October 7th ever took place, they're either brainwashed, and in a certain way, I really believe they are brainwashed, because you look at some of the comments, they say none of this stuff happened, and, you know, we want Israel back. The fact is, you have to get Israel back where it belongs, because what's happening in Israel right now is really not sustainable either. We have to let Israel complete their war on terror. It's a horrible thing, but they have to do it, and they have to do it fast, and we have to get back to order. And people have to respect law and order in this country. They don't respect it anymore. The United States worldwide is not respected anymore, and we have to gain back that respect from other countries quickly.
Got a question about the law and order thing. Ladies and gentlemen, you're watching the Wayne Dupree Show with Wayne Dupree, Hutch Beeler Jr., and Jason Robinson. Listen, President Trump has always talked about the law and order side, and I think 9 times out of 10 American voters would agree that you need law and order for a better America. But as we saw in Baltimore, you remember the riot in Baltimore when the police were going backwards? And I think the Michael Brown situation in
St. Louis, too. Yeah.
St. Louis, too. The police were retreating. And in certain periods, police have had the stand down order put in place. And it's like, yes, we need law and order, but are we getting to a point, as President Trump talked about, we aren't respected, or that the law and order might not, well, I may be paraphrasing him right now, which I really didn't want to do. But do you think that law and order can get to a point that is so disrespected that nobody is afraid of it anymore? And then it just goes into the purge, you know. I mean, it just mass anarchy, period.
That actually kind of happened at UCLA. At UCLA, right. the protesters had their camp, and some pro-Israel groups attacked them with fireworks and everything at their tents, and there was no police there.
Really?
Until later, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the videos coming out of that were insane. I got to say, I kind of, like, if I'm the police, I'll let them duke it out.
Well, yeah.
Keep it contained to the campus there. I mean, if you want to make an indoctrination camp that pushes all this garbage, and they want to burn, you know, the thing. And the campus isn't going to hold any of these students accountable.
Nope.
So, so why should the police put themselves in danger to go liberate these campuses, to do whatever they want to do? And the campus isn't going to do it. And to answer your question about law and order is enforced halfway in this country. If you are the rancher who shoots at the illegal immigrant coming on your property, right, you will get charged with the crime,
yep,
and they'll try to put you in jail. If you are the illegal carrying drugs or doing whatever, walking on his property, you're completely fine. And that's exactly how the liberal agenda wants it.
Yeah, I kind of, it's like sometimes you look at some of the stories that are coming out. I have a story on WayneDupree.com where New York Fire Department firefighter, right, lost his job to make room for the illegal immigrants, funding for the city. A couple months later, he died of a heart attack. And if you read into the story, he had money issues, and he had to take care of his family and stuff. The pressure to take care of his family and stuff probably caught up with him, you know, causing him to have a heart attack. But in going back to the law enforcement state, you're seeing police being beat up in New York. You remember that? Police were being beat up by those illegal immigrants. And it's like, well, if you, for those police to go into the schools, again, it's probably a little bit easier. I really believe that. But for them to go into the schools last night, like Attica, that's basically what it reminded me of, Attica too. Them going in there and cleaning house, it's like, okay, is this the point, or is this the marker where things change and law enforcement are like, you know what, enough of this. It's time to take back what we need to. Or is that just a outlier where many, many police officers, like you were talking about, Jay, we just let you go. We'll just let you go until you get tired.
Officer, you're going to put your life at risk to go take back over this campus, arrest these agitators who destroyed property or did whatever. And knowing the school, for the students that were there, and there's a lot of professional agitators, mm-hmm, knowing those students will just be, they'll just reset up the encampment tomorrow. And then,
right.
And that's what they say on camera. They tell you that.
Yeah.
And that's what I figured they were going to do anyway.
The agitators that they were arresting, they're like, we'll be out tomorrow. We'll be back. Yep. So, I mean, if you're the cops, at what point are you like, whatever?
Take your heart attack scenario. What about a cop? You got a cop, he gets a call on his pager. Hey, assemble here, get your riot gear, and be down on the street. They watch the news, too. They see this stuff. So now you're all pumped up, and your adrenaline's flowing, and you're ready to go, and you're like, all right, we're going to go in there, and then they stand down.
Yeah.
You talk about a freaking heart attack.
You know, I remember it happened a couple of times here in Baltimore, and the police change. And, you know, they probably, well, I don't know if it was the same situation, but they changed the way that they police in Pennsylvania too. But what they were doing here in Baltimore was they were calling the police out to certain places, saying that there was a domestic disturbance or this and that. And when the police got there, it was an ambush, and the police and a couple of polices were killed. You know, and then that forced the police, not union, but the police departments, and said, look, we're only going to come out if it's such and such. That's it. You know, you can file a report, you know, and we'll come later and stuff. But yeah, that's probably one thing that's
trending. That I do worry about. That's trending. What you're talking about.
I bet. Yeah.
I hear it on the radio all the time. Boy, these supervisors in the police department can tell you 17 different ways of reasons why we're not going to respond to that.
Right.
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 Well, and I, like I say, I can't fault them. I mean, if you're Columbia University, you've promulgated this ideology, you've bought juice boxes for these clowns, you've admitted them, you're not even going to suspend them or not let them graduate, you know. And then the New York politicians are coming out, Jamal Bowman's on the House floor saying, oh, we can't have them get arrested. Like, frankly, at this point, like, just wall off New York, wall off California.
And you know what? You asked what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
You look at the difference between the reaction in Austin, Texas, and in New York, you know, or North Carolina and California. These states and these cities are going to cease to exist.
Well,
any meaningful fashion.
Right. If we don't have to, it was funny. I had this interesting conversation with one of my buddies where I said, you know what? I love abortions in the states, because if there are states like California that they want to allow abortion up to birth, they're just going to that problem is going to take care of itself, you know? And if there's some states that want to let young kids cut their privates off, that state will take care of themselves. We just need to make sure we keep it, you know, kind of grouped in that state and not bring this stuff to the federal level. If California wants to pass reparations, God love them, go for it. You know, just don't bring it to the federal level. Like, don't make other states do it. And then 10, 20, 30 years from now, like, these states will take care of themselves.
A little bit more on the campus.
I understand their passion. They have a point.
I've heard gas the Jews.
I don't resent his passion. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. I understand their passion.
Yeah.
I noticed some of them were students. Their faces did look familiar. And there were certainly people there who were not students. They almost seemed like professional burglars, which made it even more scary because they don't have anything to lose. And so when you're dealing with a situation like that, there's so much unpredictability, and they don't care for the safety of the university or the sanctity of its property. So that just heightens the level of fear.
Jessica, how do you feel at Columbia? Do you feel safe? Have you felt safe?
Recently, this past week, I have not felt safe. It has been a very tense, very scary atmosphere.
You know how we talk about how our schools, our elementary schools and our middle schools, they don't have protection around schools. And then the Democrats thought it was okay to put those signs, no gun zones for the little kids. They don't do that for college, but they do it for the little kids. And listening to what she's talking about, she said, a couple people I recognize as students. How do you go back to the same college? Let's say this thing dies down out of the blue next Wednesday. On next Thursday, those same people that you saw with the stuff, how do you look at them the same?
I think
these are the people that attack my college, and look at them. They're walking around here. They could do it at any time. They could do it again.
The college is in full support of them. The thing about this thing, what needs to happen is that graduation certificate or whatever, you diploma or whatever you want to call it, from Columbia University ought to be a ticket to you not getting hired anywhere.
Yep.
You show that ought to be, you're a Nazi. End of story, bye.
UCLA too.
Right.
Texas. I mean.
The colleges need to pay for this.
The colleges, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it's that whole elite class. I mean, we were talking about it on the show earlier this week when we're saying we're 10, 20, 30 years away from nobody knowing how to fix anything or do anything. Can you imagine if we took that entire faculty from that college campus and dropped them on an island with just some basic tools to survive?
Have you ever been to a college graduation?
Yeah.
I was at one in a semi-elite school for my son. My son stood there in the middle of the entire student body, and he was the only one wearing an Army uniform.
Right.
A dress uniform. Because he was in ROTC at a school next door because they didn't have one here. And they marched in the faculty in this parade. They're wearing these freaking costumes that would make you laugh. I mean, hats that look like they're long and robes, and they're so self-important. They think they're so godly. It was disgusting.
Yeah, those
and they don't
things
and they don't produce anything for society. Yeah.
Right. Nothing.
They don't make the water flow. They don't make the food get delivered. They don't make the food grow.
They come up with woke policies, is what they do.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, the stuff that they're teaching, they probably never even done. Is
you know what the speaker said? The keynote speaker, he was a former speechwriter for like Jimmy Carter or something. Mm-hmm. And he came out there and he said, "Now, we know that you've learned values here that might not necessarily be the same values you were taught by your parents, but it's okay." And I'm looking at all these parents and like, did you guys just miss that?
Right.
Nobody paid attention.
Indoctrinated your children. Thank you. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I stayed on that boy. Boy, he didn't get turned.
I stay on that boy. Oh, man.
But a weak-minded kid, you fall right into that. You want to be like everybody else.
There's a lot of them.
I know.
There's a lot of them.
We've created them.
There's a lot of them. Our boy. Okay. Well, sometimes he's our boy, and then sometimes he's not. I'm talking about John Kennedy.
He's great for a quote. That's all we
can. Yes, he is. He's
uniparty hack.
He's part of the show. You know what I mean? Like when I watch him, it's like I'm watching Mean Gene Okerlund out there. Like I know it's a play, but God, he gives a good
interview.
And it's
not complicated. You don't have to be Oliver Wendell Scalia to figure that out. All you have to do is read the document. And so I want to thank them. I think the president of Colombia could learn a lot from them, an awful lot. Point three, I think much of the problem comes from some members, not all, but some members of these universities' faculty. There are members of the faculty at some of these universities who believe in diversity, equity, inclusion, and the right to kill Jews. They do. Now, this is America. You're entitled to believe what you want. It may be an evil thought, but you're entitled to believe it. You're not entitled to act on it.
Right.
And many of these professors, not all of them, not at all universities, but many of these professors, instead of celebrating their universities as a diverse place of diversity and ideas, they are convinced they are right, and they want to punish people who disagree with them.
Yep.
And that's a big part of the problem. Final point, President Biden could stop this stuff on a dime. On a dime.
Yeah, he sure could.
Kennedy. So could the governor of New York, so could the governor of California, of Texas. They could stop it in one day with the National Guard.
Yeah. Kennedy, man.
But like I say, why would we send in the National Guard? They're not going to be held accountable by the local, the local law.
Just to end the scene. Just to end the scene.
Yeah, but it's just going to pop back up. I mean, the college campus is okay with it. Why would we risk National Guard? Like I say, I think position the National Guard around the campus. Tell them, like, hey, you guys go in there, like, you're on your own. But why would we put National Guard troops at risk of some idiot doing something when the college isn't even going to kick the kids out and they're not going to lock them up?
Well, I still think they should go in there and break these camps up. I mean, if the college isn't going to, the college, they are suspending people. They're starting to. I think they waited too long. But this is
how long is that going to last, Hutch? You know they're going to be back in school in 2 weeks when this blows over.
Probably. Maybe with a big gouge in their head.
I mean, but this is my point. Conservatives keep going to try to stop the Democrats from destroying themselves. Just let them. Why would we, like, I'd rather the National Guard go to the border. You know?
Oh, yeah. Second Division ought to go to the border.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We need that. We need that. We need that more than anything.
I want to see somebody get punished, Jay. I want to see somebody get knocked out.
I do too, but they're not going to, is what I'm saying. But the punishment, we get this cycle on the conservative side, like, oh, we need to stop the Democrats from doing this horrible stuff to their cities.
I don't look at this as Democrats. I don't look at this as Democrats. I look at this as Hamas.
Right. It is.
This is an enemy of the United States doing this in our house.
The Democrats are okay with it.
Right, and I'm not.
And Republicans are...
They're fake.
But I mean, like Texas, Florida, some of the conservative states said, no, 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 this isn't going to happen. Like,
but it did happen.
Congratulations.
You but know, it did I happen. Think
that's and excellent. they went in and knocked them out, and they ended.
Yeah, they ended.
But the same thing happened in New York. Adams flowed the police in there with Columbia last night.
Yeah,
and
right.
They went in there, and they went in there, Attica. And I keep going back to that because that's the only thing that it reminded me of.
If you don't stop something like this, right, then all it does is empower them to do the next thing.
But will they be empowered? Because those 300 that Jay was talking about, they got out this morning. So are they going to be empowered? Man, you got arrested too? Yeah, me too. Did you take your picture? Yeah, they got mine too. All right, let's go do it again.
I don't have any answer for that. I mean, you got to have a functioning government in a municipality. I mean, if you don't, then that's everything else is optional.
Well, that's my point. Let the non-functioning municipality of New York City destroy itself.
I'll work with that.
Non-functioning?
Well, I mean, their law enforcement is.
Right.
And people will leave. You got to be nuts. You got to be nuts right now. Any kid looking at this is going, I ain't going there.
Well, it's funny. So somebody I follow on social media, on Twitter, they were traveling in Union Square. And my wife and my son and I, we had gone to San Francisco Union Square like 5-8 years ago, something like that. And we stayed down there at an Airbnb sort of thing. And I remember walking around and how vibrant and how cool it was. And dude was walking around at like 10:30, 11 o'clock during the week. Every store was shut down. It was completely vacant. It was vagrants. It was homeless. I mean, I remember down in the square, there were people playing music and stuff going on like almost all the time. And we walked around and it was actually for a Pokemon tournament my son was playing in, so there was a bunch of families and stuff. It was completely secure. I mean, they destroyed downtown San Francisco, and like, congratulations, this is what leftist
politics. You should have seen it in February of 85. It was about 17 degrees in Pittsburgh, and I flew into Oakland Air Base and coming back from Korea, and a buddy of mine that was in my unit was on the plane. He was a Korean, but he was a GI, and he asked me if I wanted to stay at his place for a week or two before I go back home. I had a pocket full of money. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. It's like 78 out here, man. It's nice. And San Francisco was beautiful, man. It was like it was like a carnival every day. I mean, some of the places that I went to, the waterfront and the piers. Oh, they had street actors out there. It was great. I never saw anything like it before. It was great.
And I remember they had those little rental electric scooters, you know, in some of the downtown areas where you just scan your credit card. we'd hop on one, we'd scan our card, and we would drive like 15 blocks to the convention center where our event was at. And other than the Tenderloin, there was like a 3-block area that was kind of rough.
Polk District.
But now the whole city's just destroyed. Yeah. And that's leftist policies.
I mean, I rode the Rice-A-Roni trolley cars. And
oh, those are awesome.
Yeah, Rice-A-Roni,
Ain't riding those today. Unless you're packing.
Situation, because not only we have students who are participating in these very organized demonstrations and basically hostile takeover like what happened at Columbia, but also we have adults participating. You see a lot of people in their 30s, like especially those who took over the building at Columbia today. They are not students. They are paid actors to be and agitators to be involved in this issue. And by the way, the head negotiator of the students at Columbia, who negotiating with the university is a foreign student. He is not even an American.
Attica,
so now we have foreign students who are studying on our campuses, who are participating in disrupting the peace on our own soil and pressuring our government and to impact our foreign policy with one of our strongest allies. Why are we allowing foreign students to remain on our soil who are agitating students and people alike of our own citizens to impact our foreign policy? We need to get to the bottom of this, and Congress needs to take action immediately. We need to identify these foreign students who are participating in these rallies nationwide. Their visas need to be revoked and they need to be deported. And our members of Congress need to hear very strongly from us on that. We are working, and I mean Act for America. We are working right now with members of Congress. We are working on legislation to identify these foreign students and get them expelled out of our universities and out of our country.
Yeah. That's a great start. But then you're going to have to expel some of these American students that were under the tutelage of these foreign students, because what's going to happen, and it probably happens all the time, once you plant that seed of discord and that seed of anarchy into mindless kids that don't have a direction, they're going to soak up that evil that you just that came from overseas, and then they're going to think that they're Palestinians. You know, they're going to think that they're
that's exactly right. They're creating terrorists. They're creating terrorists in these schools.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And who it might have been Osama bin Laden or the Taliban, but the Taliban was happy during their little heyday, or at the beginning of their heyday, because they were like, I don't want this to sound racist, but you had some white people that start growing their stuff and putting on the thing, and they went over there and they start getting trained by the Taliban and stuff like that. So when they came back over here, you didn't know that they were part of the Taliban, you know, and they'd come over here and start changing stuff. That's why we didn't used to have a whole lot of men in this country that had those long beards. We didn't. We might have had them bald headed. Oh my God. Really? Seriously?
Wayne's got the explosions. Somebody tell us how they did that. Hutch, did you find a button in the studio?
Man.
Let me.
We didn't have a whole lot of people in the country that had men that had those long Muslim type beards. And I start noticing it more and more and more. I'm like, dude, all y'all need is the hat. And a long dress. Y'all look like y'all have converted already, but it's a fashion thing now. And I don't know whether that was on purpose or not, but you see that, you know, they groom their things and stuff. And you know, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's the white van syndrome. You know how you're supposed to look out for a white van if there's a crime. Yeah, they're in a white van with a ladder on it And then you go outside, you see like 20 vans that you had never seen before. There, wait. No, wow, that's a lot. That happened during the Washington, D.C. sniper.
I'm going to read a statement that we just got from Columbia. A little after 9 p.m. this evening, the NYPD arrived on campus at the university's request. This decision was made to restore safety and order to our community. We regret that protesters have chosen to escalate the situation through their actions. After the university learned overnight that Hamilton Hall had been occupied, vandalized, and blockaded, we were left with no choice. Columbia public safety personnel were forced out of the building, and a member of our facilities team was threatened. We will not risk the safety of our community or the potential for further escalation. The leadership team, including the Board of Trustees, met throughout the night and into the early morning, consulting with security experts and law enforcement to determine the best plan to protect our students and the entire Columbia University community. We made the decision early in the morning that this was a law enforcement matter and that the NYPD were best positioned to determine and execute an appropriate response. This is interesting. We believe that the group that broke into and occupied the building is led by individuals who are not affiliated with the university. Sadly, this dangerous decision followed more than a week of what had been productive discussions with representatives of the West Lawn encampment.
And
it goes on to talk about.
And see, that's what I'm talking about. Well, I go back to what I was thinking about earlier. These campuses, because, you know, I brought up the thing about the elementary schools. These campuses don't have security on it to prevent this type of stuff on a regular basis. So you remember under Barack Obama, and there was a woman that could have been a Muslim woman, I don't know, but she took a car and ran over some people on Ohio's university or something like that. But in getting back to these colleges are not secure.
They defunded their police, Wayne.
Did they ever have police?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colleges had police.
The Pitt Police is a robust police department.
Yeah. Most of these major universities all had their own campus security forces that they defunded in a lot of the liberal schools in the whole whatever, you know, George Floyd, Summer of Love.
They were heroes here during the G20 summit that happened in Pittsburgh several years ago, the police set up a military style situation where they were ambushing these people and putting them in a pincer so they could arrest them all. And a bunch of them ran into the dormitories, and the Pittsburgh police was ready to head into the dorms after them. And the Pitt police sealed off the dorm and said, "No, you're not. You're not going in this building. There's a lot of innocent people in there. You ain't going in there." And they blocked them by force from going in.
But see, like Jay says, during the Summer of Love thing and stuff like that, I remember my dad used to be a teacher at Maryland State College that is now University of Maryland Eastern Shore. And there one Saturday, he had to go there. And he took me with him. I didn't know we were on the college. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was like we're driving, you're seeing wilderness and stuff like that. And then the next thing you know, we're on the college. I'm like, it's like some invisible line that you crossed over. And now you're seeing a whole lot of old established buildings and stuff like that. And you're like, but you don't see any police. You don't see any security. You don't see anything out there. It just looked like a regular old, it was cleaned up. I mean, the buildings look great, but you really didn't see a whole lot of security. And that's why I say I never saw a lot of security at any of the colleges or whatnot that I have been to. So when y'all say that, that they had their police, is it enough to stop something like this?
No, it's not that many. It's not that many.
Okay. All right.
But they work with the local police and
they can call them.
They're on the same frequencies.
Yeah. And I mean, at Columbia, like I have zero sympathy for Columbia. And like I say, I don't know if I've been clear enough. I think the New York Police Department should have nothing to do with that. That school has faculty members out there protesting with those knuckleheads. They are trying to get them food and emergency whatever so they don't starve to death. And they all voted for this. They all chose this. If that university wants to say, hey, if you're a faculty member and you're participating, you are fired. Tomorrow, pack your stuff. If you're a student, you're gone. You know, the U.S. government should say, if you're out there chanting death to America, you're on the next jet home. But if none of those organizations are going to do that, none of the people whose house it is. I mean, this is New York City. Daniel Penny got arrested for stopping somebody assaulting people on the subway. He's facing more criminal charges than all these knuckleheads are. So
I'd go with that up and to the point where if you're not enforcing getting rid of foreign students that are starting riots, right, then we will. If you're not, somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to get rid of them. If the school doesn't want to do it, then you cut their money off and somebody from the FBI has to do it. I mean, we can't have foreign students that are anti-American in our schools causing ferment. There's
the
no
FBI
way.
The FBI is not going to. And I agree.
I know they're not. Good. I know they're not. I know they're not. But that's what should happen. We shouldn't just let it go. I mean, if you want to let the kids destroying themselves, let that go. That's fine. But we're being attacked by a foreign entity here.
We are. And our government should stop it. But every time something like this happens, they take red-blooded American MAGA sort of folks, right? And they say, let's go throw you guys into this wood chipper on campus where if you get out of line and get too rough with somebody that you shouldn't, we're going to suspend you. We're going to fire you. We're going to do whatever. Meanwhile, the elites who caused this mess and the intelligence community aren't going to solve it. And the people like the college who's being destroyed doesn't care, but they're going to send MAGA type people, strong America first men in there to put them in the line of fire. And I just disagree with that opinion. Now, I will say, did you guys see that the University of, what campus was it? Where all the UNC Chapel Hill, Phi Kappa Phi. So there's was a bunch of good old boys from the campus that saw rich one of these boys. Things was breaking out, and they hung a Palestinian flag. Those guys went out there. These are just college students. They said, oh, no, you ain't. And they threw all the protesters out from the American flag. They took down the Palestinian flag and they rehung the American flag. And now they got a GoFundMe where you can help fund their big party they're going to have. I mean, that's what we need, is we need other kids on these grounds saying, no, this is our campus.
Well, see, the thing is, it's not their campus. They're just customers there.
Right.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Is that what you're talking about? The North Carolina?
Yep. Or no, it's actually, I'll have to find the video of it. That was in New York where they rehung the American flag, because on several of these campuses they hung the Palestinian flag. But it's I retweeted the
This is pro Hamas extremists just attacked police at UNC at North Carolina. Police were removing a Palestinian flag that extremists had replaced a U.S. flag with.
Oh, maybe it was.
When the police moved in, the extremists start attacking them. There's in North Carolina.
But that's what I'm saying.
Look, I can tell you where that line. I can tell you where that line's going to break.
Right. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
But I mean, think of those poor cops that are in the middle of that, and nothing's going to happen to any of those folks.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to take a stand, man.
I'll tell you right. That this is a very intense escalation from how it has been past several hours. There was a rally and silent vigil for Palestine that occurred for several after they.
Well, look at that person.
I don't know if you can see right now. They are taking the Palestinian flag down off the flagpole, which was put up there about 30 minutes or so ago by protesters. They took the American flag down, raised the Palestinian flag. About 5 minutes or so ago, we saw a large group of police officers come down Polk Place and just sort of come for the students who had interlocking arms around this flagpole. It appears they're trying to remove the Palestinian flag and re-raise an American flag up on this flagpole here. But with the force that this was done, pushing down students, some into these barricades that were placed up this morning after police cleared an encampment that had been here on Polk Place for about 90 hours. The University of North Carolina sent an email. They sent out a paper statement basically warning the students at 5:37 this morning they had to clear the
encampment. And all the COVID. By 6 a.m.,
many of the students we spoke with said that they were sleeping and did not know until some faculty came down about 10 minutes before 6 to get out. According to the university, about 30 people were detained. I spoke with the district attorney. He said that is a mix of arrests and citations. Talking to students, they say that, again, they were very surprised by this. They felt that it had been a very peaceful encampment up to that point. The University of North Carolina says that they were in violation of negotiations that had been ongoing by putting tents back up on Sunday afternoon. The university students who were at the encampment told me today that they felt like there was no real negotiation with the university. They felt like this was more of a one-sided conversation. They had taken the tents down twice already, but there had been no real discussion with the university, those students say, about their demands of divestment and disclosure of finances. Now, they say that that is why they put those tents back up on Sunday afternoon, what the university deemed as that violation for them to go and clear the encampment this morning. The students, again, saying there was no real honest negotiation they felt with the school, and that was why they kept those up. Now, again, this is an intense escalation from what we saw just 20 minutes ago or so. There were students dancing and chanting. You can now hear other students coming and saying, USA, USA. We're seeing more students now come to Polk Place, this sort of green area where we'd actually been seeing sort of a decrease in people out here. They were finishing for the day. We had lots of speakers out here earlier that we were listening to roughly 5 or 6 hours after many of those people who were either arrested or cited were released. Now, they put barricades up after the encampment was cleared this morning. And we did see these protesters. You can see there's a couple skirmishes over here. We did see those protesters sort of remove those barricades after several hours of that protest and silent vigil to come and take down the American flag, put up the Palestinian flag.
I know, you see that?
And continue their chants. Everything that we have observed today from about noon on has been incredibly peaceful and very low key for the most part. Up until we saw the officers run across this lawn here, that is really the most intense energy that we have felt. I'm going to let you kind of look at what is going on again here, but it does appear they're just trying to raise this American flag up. I'm going to get my photographer, Westbrook, to just sort of show the growing number of students that is starting to come here to Polk Place now. Again, this is not what the situation necessarily
looks like. That's a danger. That's the freaking danger. You get those mindless kids that don't have any direction, that are getting caught up in this mess. Well, you also have your people taking the cameras and stuff for their TikTok and Twitter and stuff. But you have all these kids. Hey, was that a water bottle? Let me throw mine too. Yeah. And the police aren't, like you said, the police aren't arresting anybody.
Well, but that's what I mean. South Carolina, there's actually a chance they'll enforce the law. So that would be a scenario where I'd say, yeah, if the police go in, like, great. New York, the police officer that hits back at the protester is going to be suspended.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, y'all have been watching the Wayne Dupree broadcast. It is Wednesday, May 1st, May Day. I got it right. May Day.
And we got May the 4th and Cinco de Mayo. It's an exciting start to the year.
Is Cinco de Mayo May 5th?
Yes.
What is that, Taco Day?
We're all going to be wearing sombreros that day. And take we're going to be eating our taco bowls like President Trump.
Taco bowl. Bruh is falling asleep like he's at Airbnb in court. He's
when the reports come out that he's falling asleep and farting, I couldn't.
Oh, man, if he does that.
I thought I couldn't love President Trump anymore.
Yeah, if he does that's crazy.
He's like, this is so stupid. I'm going to be up tweeting at 2 in the morning. I better get some shut-eye.
As I said, I don't think this court had, what? We all know the court case doesn't have anything to do. Seriously, it really doesn't have anything to do with the presidency. It really doesn't. I think it's meant to break his family up. I think this one is meant to break his family up. I'm hearing about some texts and stuff that are coming out right now with him. And again, the court case isn't supposed to be happening, but nobody is stopping it. It's the same way certain things come down from Congress. They shouldn't be able to do it, but nobody's stopping it. These things have been destroying us, the American people, for a long time because nobody is stopping it. We will complain online and unify our voices, saying this shouldn't be happening. Okay, you're right, but nobody is stopping it, and that's why they're able to.
It's like a fire. If you don't put the red stuff on the red stuff, it's going to consume everything.
Everything. Right. Yep. You've been watching the Wayne Dupree podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Our Friday, your Thursday. Make sure that you tune in. J Rob and his website, Hutch, and his radio show. Give me some last thoughts.
Folks, thanks for tuning in. I tell you what, we keep saying on the show, things are going to get more and more exciting as we gear up for election season. These campus protests, these things are going to run wild for the next 3, 4, 5 months. And it's just getting started. That's why you tune into our show. We'll keep you abreast of what's going on.
Yeah, it'll move from the campuses to the street soon. It was there first anyway.
Yeah.
A developing story of Bidenomics, a Milwaukee high school football coach passes away amid national chemotherapy drug shortage.
Yeah.
Endangering U.S. cancer patients. That sucks.
Oh.
Notice how they never say Bidenomics anymore?
Yeah, they don't, do they?
No.
It was Trump. Well, did they say Trumpnomics?
Nah. No, they were just calling it Bidenomics. But that's what I meant with my final thought yesterday. All their campaign stuff, everything they're running on is falling apart. Like, really, you're going to go up and talk student loan forgiveness while campuses are burning? you're going to talk Bidenomics while people
These riots are going to kill them.
Right.
They're going to wipe them out, man. You know how Ronald Reagan got elected governor of California? Because of UC Berkeley.
Yep.
And what he said about that, why are we letting these children make decisions?
Yep. Right.
Yep. All right, with that said, these are men making decisions. We got to go. It's lunchtime. Got to go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.